Good to see you all here, and for those of you who aren't at VBS, it's been a while since I've been up before you to teach. It certainly has been a blessing today to have been on the song service for the morning and the evening. That's kind of been nice. No repeat songs, right? Today we're going to be basing our study of scriptures in the book of Psalms. And let's go to Psalms 119, 105. And this is a scripture that has inspired this lesson tonight. It says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It seems like a very simple, very short scripture, but it really has a lot of meaning. And to really put it in context of the Bible writer, we really kind of have to understand absolute darkness, and then we have to understand what light means to the writer. And really, when you think about absolute darkness, you think, what's the darkest it's ever been? You know, have you ever been in a cave when there was no light? Or what I remember the most was camping in the mountains in the middle of the night, and there's just absolutely no light because the tree canopy is too thick and too heavy. There's no moonlight, no starlight, there's nothing. Just that absolute darkness, and no matter how much you will there, you want there to be light or will there to be light, without a source of light, it's just darkness, and there's pretty much nothing you can do in this absolute darkness. We see this idea in Proverbs, actually. If you want to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." And that was certainly true for me as I was stumbling through. It wasn't even that much of the wilderness. It was a campground. And I was in one of the empty lots. I was just, you know, stumbling through, hitting my shins on the fire grate, etc. You know, it's so amazing how just incapable you realize you are in that pitch black darkness. You have no sense of direction. You know, you have no way to really know where you're going, and in some cases, you know, you might just have to sit down and wait for the sunlight, because you're pretty much helpless. To stumble around in darkness could cause injury, maybe even, you know, a fatal injury. So absolute darkness, kind of get that idea in our minds, and then we think about what it was like during the times of the Bible writers. And today, you know, in our modern society, we have what you might call easy access to light, right? We can always reach in our pockets now. I remember a time before cell phones had lights in them, right? Before cell phones, when the power would go out at night, you know, you had to remember, oh, where did we leave the flashlights? What drawer are the flashlights in? I hope we put it back in that drawer. Where's the matches or the lighter to light the candles? And of course, when the power goes out and it's nighttime, especially in the wintertime, because up here in Alaska in the summertime, you might be able to still see. When it's pitch black and none of the light switches work, and you suddenly realize you have no way to make light, and you're stumbling around in the darkness trying to find a light, well, even for us, something like that is still easier than what they had back then, right? Because you do get to that drawer, you find that flashlight, you know, even matches and lighters are easy compared to what they had back then. If they wanted a source of light, they had to make it in the daytime and then keep something going into the nighttime. They would have these pans where they would keep these embers glowing so that they could always relight something, so that they could relight a lamp if they needed to light or to see. And we think about that scripture about lighting a lamp and putting it on a table for everyone to see, for everyone to use. If anyone needs any further light source, they can go to that lamp, usually made of some sort of slow-burning wick and oil or something similar, and they could get, you know, a piece of dry grass or a straw and use it to light something else that they needed to light their way. So it provided a great convenience for anyone who needed additional light. You know, you need to go visit the outhouse. You take a candle, light it, and go on your way. But to come about that light was not easy for them back in those days, because you had to have something like we think about flint and steel or rubbing sticks together, that's not something that you can do in total darkness. You know, even if you stumble around in the darkness and you find your flint and you find your steel, but then you have to find what you're going to light with it. And anyone who's ever built a fire with flint and steel knows that you have to have specially prepared materials that really, really want to catch on fire in order to get a fire going. Even something that we think that's very flammable, like paper, might not catch on fire from flint and steel. So stumbling around in the darkness, right, you're not going to find all the things you need to create light. It's going to be very hard for them. So they always had to have a source of light. You know, it was not something they could come, that they could just have on demand like we have nowadays, right? Rubbing the sticks together, you know, like a castaway on the island until you get enough friction for fire to start, right? It's not something that you do in darkness. It's something you do before you have darkness. So this is kind of an analogy, right? We have easy access to light these days. And the light we see in Scripture is oftentimes an analogy for truth or God's Word, right? We read that His Word is a light unto our feet, or a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. That's Psalm 119, 105. And we think about the easy access we have to that light nowadays, right? We have easy access to the Lord's Word and to Scripture. And it was not easy for... So light meant a lot to them back then. It was something that was vital. You know, it could be something that, you know, meant life or death in certain situations in which it was total darkness and you were not at home. You had to go somewhere, and that light that was not easy to come by, and once it goes out, you can't rekindle it. It really meant something to them. Let's go to the book of Psalms. Or we're in the book of Psalms, but let's look at chapter 25. Chapter 25 and verse 10, it says, "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep His covenant and His testimonies." So the light is a light unto our path. And what is our path? We see the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So this light, many times, is symbolic of truth, right? Darkness is symbolic of uncertainty or not knowing what is true. Not always of deceit necessarily, but just not knowing what the truth is. But we see here His paths, His ways are truth. The light that shines on that path, right? His Word is that light of truth. And the darkness really is an inability to do anything. If you're, you know, you're in the pitch black, you have no way to make light, there's not really much you can do but stumble about. If you can't even see your hand in front of you, I mean, it's inability, it's lack of knowledge, it's danger, right? The danger of stumbling, of injuring oneself, of falling into the pit, like we read in Proverbs 4:19. Let's also go to John chapter 11. Let's look at verse 9 and 10. This reads, "Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him.'" Of course, I mean, this is great advice if you're going on a trip, but you know that Jesus was speaking more than just about what time of day you should walk. We know that there is danger in stumbling, right? In the times of the day, it is at least that part of traveling is safe, seeing where you're going, knowing where you're going. In the darkness, you don't even know where the path is. You don't know if there is a path. You don't know what direction is different than any other direction. We know from Scripture that light is God's instruction as well. Light is God's instruction. Let's go back to Proverbs. And this time, let's look at chapter 6. And in particular, let's read verse 23. This says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs are of instruction are the way of life." So we see the commandment in the law is a light. It's a lamp. It shines and gives clarity of where to go when you would otherwise have no direction at all. And what else does he say about it? He said, "Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." So here we see it touching on the idea of its life. And there's certainly situations where it could be a life or death situation if you don't have light to see by. So we know that light is God's instruction, and it is the way of life. Illumination keeps us safe. It doesn't just show us the way, but it can show us any dangers or pitfalls. Let's go back and let's look at Psalm 119 again. I read part of it, but there's another part that goes with it that I wanted to read. Psalm 119, we read 105 that says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path." I would then add to that verse 110, which says, "The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts." So the snare is there, the dangers, the pitfalls, the traps are there, waiting for us in the darkness. But what has kept us safe from these pitfalls, from these snares? He says, "Yet I have not strayed from your precepts." Remember, we just read that the commands and the instructions are the lamp and the light that guides our way. Also in the same book, let's go over to chapter 27. And let's look at verse 1 of 27 that says, The Lord, not someone else that's really smart, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" So it keeps us safe, and it lets us be protected. It gives us a sense of security. "Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength, of whom shall I be afraid?" So it lights our way, it keeps us safe. And it's not something that man can create, right? Light does not come from man. Light has to come from one source. It's only by God that we see. Let's see what Job had to say. Let's go to Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29, and let's look at verse 3. "When his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness." It was when his lamp shone and his light shone that we were able to walk through darkness. It is attributed to God, by the Lord, right? It is by his light that we see. Jesus tells us he is the way, the truth, and the light, not man's light. Darkness, of course, also ultimately represents the ideas of death or hell or separation from God. How many times do we read about being cast into outer darkness and know exactly what they mean when they say, when God says or Jesus says, this outer darkness, the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth? Ultimately, that's what darkness is. it will be a separation from God. Still in Job, let's go over to Job chapter 17. And let's look at verse 13 and 14. He says, "If I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in darkness, if I say to corruption, 'You are my father,' and to the worm, 'You are my mother and my sister,' where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Those who make their bed in darkness and wait for the grave as their house, they have no hope. There is no hope to see in the darkness." Let's go over to Matthew. Matthew 22 and verse 13. "Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" We know the context here. Even though it is a parable, we know exactly what's going on when he says to bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him in outer darkness. That is away from the king's presence. Get this guy away from me. Throw him in outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And once more, let's go to the book of Jude. Jude, and let's look at verse 12 and 13. "These are spots in your love feast, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Talking about those who worship in vain, or those who do not follow the precepts of God, yet say they do. What does he say at the end here? The blackness of darkness is reserved for them forever. It gets kind of scarier and scarier as you read more about it. But we know that darkness is not something that we want a part of. It's not some place we want to go or something that we want to experience. It is by God's light that we find the right path. Again, it's not by man's light. It is by God's light. Let's go back to Psalm, this time to chapter 18. Let's look at verse 28. It says, "For you will light my lamp." Speaking to God, it is God that will light my lamp. "The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness." It is by God's light we find the right path. Let's go to 2 Samuel. Jumping around a lot, but the scripture has a lot to say on the subject. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. Let's read verse 29. "For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness." Almost the same thing, right? You will light my lamp. You are my lamp. There should be no doubt as to where we get our light and by what light we walk. Really, the path is impossible to find in the darkness. I mean, try finding a street in the pitch black, much less a path that is narrow. Jesus mentions the path in Matthew chapter 7. We know from the scriptures we've already read that God is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. And let's look at what path is mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, and let's look at 13 and 14. He says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." This narrow path, this narrow gate, is impossible to find in the darkness. Even if I give you directions, you know, finding a place that you've never been before is not easy. How many of you have gone to a place, you know, you have an address or you have directions to get there? You know, it's so much easier to find it in the daytime, and it's a lot harder to find it at night, even with street lamps and headlights, especially before we had all those handy maps that give us all the directions or whatever, and the electronic, you know, turn left here, turn right here, GPS and whatnot. Remember back in the days trying to find addresses or locations you've never been to, going off of directions. It's always easier finding it in the light of day. At nighttime, it's always more frustrating. Imagine doing it without headlights. But here we see that narrow is the way. There are few who find it. It's going to be impossible to find in the darkness. You need that light that shows you where the path is. Now, you might say, you know, some of us who, you know, we might be able to navigate certain spaces that we are accustomed to, like in our own house. You dads know what I'm talking about when you're going through the house, making sure everything's locked up at night, flip, you know, turn off all the lights, and sometimes, you know, you turn off the light switch before you cross the room. You're like, I'm good. I've crossed this room many times before. And then, you know, in the darkness, you kick some ridiculously loud toy that some kid left there that you forgot was there in the darkness. Even stumbling around the darkness of your own house, perhaps getting up to go to the restroom in the middle of the night, whatever it is, you know, that's some place that you're accustomed to, and it can still be hazardous. This is some place we have never been to, right? That never in Scripture will we find looking for and finding salvation is like finding the restroom. No, you're not going to see that in Scripture, because we are going somewhere that we have not been before. And so the way in the dark is impossible to find. God guides us with His light at all times, in all situations. Let's go once again to the book of Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 23. This is a well-known psalm. Even those who aren't familiar with Scripture probably heard this at least in part at some point. Let us look particularly at verses 2 through 4. It says, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. He describes here, He lets us know it's not just when we're anxious that God is with us. What does He say? He leads us beside still waters. We see in verse 2, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of death, I fear no evil because You are with me. God leads us through the danger. He leads us, you know, in times of comfort. You could say that whether in times of contentment or in times of consternation, you know, we walk, in verse 3, in the paths of righteousness. So God is not just with us when we're scared. And we see this in the parables and the Scriptures about those who are unable to follow Jesus or follow God or follow the paths of righteousness because they were too filled up already. They were content with the things of the world. And we see even in our contentment, right, when we're being led by those still waters, we still need the path of righteousness. We still need that guiding lamp so that we do not become like that man who is content with his possessions and said he's going to sit back, kick up his feet, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. And then the Lord said to him that his life would be required of him that night. You know, we should not be that man that becomes content. We always need, whether in contentment or consternation, the light that God provides for our path. Do not let your lamp go out. Do not trade your light for darkness. Think about that. Again, I spoke about how easy light is to come, you know, how easy, you could say, the easy access that we have to light these days. You can walk in the room and flick on a light switch, or you can pull out your phone and press the light button on it. You know, whatever it is, we have easy access to light. But imagine you're in the darkness, perhaps out on the road, or you're in a cave, and the only light source you have is that one lamp. If that lamp goes out, then you're lost. You know, you have nothing but the pitch darkness. Do not let your lamp go out. Let's go to Job. Chapter 21. Let's look at verse 17. It says, "How often is the lamp of the wicked put out? How often does their destruction come upon them? The sorrows God distributes in his anger." Their lamp going out is likened with what? Calamity, destruction, perdition, God's wrath being poured out upon them. Do not let your lamp go out. Because if your lamp goes out, you'll stray from the path, you'll fall into the snares of your enemies, fall into the pit. Let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5. Do not let your lamp go out, and do not trade light for darkness. 5:20. It says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." And when we say it like that, of course, it seems so obvious. When you think about being in total darkness and being helpless, you know, it's obvious that we would prefer light. Yet there are those who trade it. There are those who say this is actually light when it's darkness, and they call that which is light darkness, and they try to trick themselves and others. Those who mistakenly think that they walk in the light are going to be that much more surprised when they fall into the pit. At least the blind man who's being led by a blind man knows that when they fall in the pit, well, yeah, this is kind of what I expected would happen anyway. But those who have traded their light for darkness, calling darkness light, are going to be that much more surprised and frustrated by their own actions on the day of judgment. Do not trade. Do not let that light go out. And we talk about don't let Satan blow it out, but really it's us who can sabotage ourselves in that regard. You know, we need to not let our lamp go out, because there's only one path, there's only one source of light, and it's impossible to find that path, that narrow gate in the darkness. This is the lesson I have for tonight. I would like to conclude by going back to Proverbs chapter 4. We read verse 19. Now I'd like to read verse 18. And as I was putting this lesson together, I was kind of thinking, you know, that you could almost say those in the opposite order than they're presented. You can read it 19 and then 18. "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." And go up to 18. "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day." So it's not just a light that shines to light our path. What does 18 tell us? The further we go down, Tom, the farther that we travel with God as our light, the brighter our path becomes. The farther that we travel with that lamp to shine our way, what does 18 tell us? It shines ever brighter, brighter until the perfect day. And what's the perfect day? The day in which there will be no more darkness. That final day in which we can finally say, you know, we've made it to the judgment day at last. We followed the narrow path. We found the gate. It's not going to be easy sometimes, but it's going to be impossible to find without that light. That's the lesson for tonight. If there are any here who want to be added to the Lord's church or have any needs of the congregation, please let that be known as we stand to sing the song of invitation.